Okay, first of all, I want to thank the organizers for inviting me here. It's always a pleasure to be in this place. And I will be talking today about zero bias anomaly in the absence of equilibrium. Zero bias here is in good inverted commas, because actually what I will be talking about doesn't have anomaly just at zero voltage, but it's a close analogy to the effect which is well known under this term. And of course, what is the absence of equilibrium requires a good redefinition in this audience. We've heard quite a lot of nice stories about this in glasses, where the absence of equilibrium is fatal. It's sort of inevitable, it's always there, glasses are never coming to equilibrium, and the problem is absolutely internal for them. For electrons in solid, situation is different. Typical relaxation times are extremely short, picoseconds or less, and you need to make some special preparations to drive your system out of equilibrium. This was already stressed by John Choker and Boris Altshuler in their talks, and here I will give just another example of how to drive electron system out of equilibrium and what's new is in there. Of course, you can make non-equilibrium system very easy with electrons just by sort of unleashing heating effects, but that's not interesting, just a mess. And so what I will be talking about, some way of getting non-equilibrium processes under control, and what can when, what is possible to learn from this. So outline will be just, first of all, defining what is a particular kind of non-equilibrium processes I want to talk about. So I will show an experiment which initialized all these studies. Then I will make some survey of what is zero bias anomaly. And I remind how disorder interaction is important for this. And I consider this zero bias anomaly actually in the absence of equilibrium, and how the processes which led to this should be reconsidered in the absence of equilibrium. This original part of this work is made in collaboration with Volodya Kravtsov, who is here, but mostly I will be talking about some things which are quite well known for electronic community, and so I apologize for repeating trivial things, but I want at least to try to be a bit more inclusive in this talk. So let me first start with experiment, which is one of the possibilities of getting system out of equilibrium. This was done in 97, so relatively easily, relatively recently, by the French group and Norman Birch. And the setup of experiment is very straightforward. There is a wire under constant bias, U. So this bias is finite and non-zero. And then something, and this something is actually tunneling conductance, is measured with the help of two additional probes. So what is seen there is, under certain condition, a double step distribution function of electrons. So instead of just standard Fermi step, one expects there a double step. This is straightforward, but this is what one can define as non-equilibrium situation. Of course, any current is not non-equilibrium situation, but again, as already been stressed here, not once. In linear response, one just measured equilibrium properties in this non-equilibrium setup. Here, idea is that some properties which are essentially out of equilibrium could be seen. So let me just stress again, what is this double step function? Its origin actually is straightforward. It just goes from the steady state kinetic equation. This is actually a way of studying non-equilibrium process in electronic systems. You try to make your system under steady state conditions. Therefore, you don't have here a relaxation term. You just look at what is a stationary distribution function even if this is non-equilibrium. And of course, if one neglects all relaxation processes described by collision integral, which I don't specify here, it's just a trivial second derivative equals zero, which has this double step solution. And the size of step is defined by the voltage under which the system is biased. And so, if there is no biased voltage, of course, one should see just normal Fermi step. Theoretically, in total absence of collision processes, in the middle one would see just sort of this vaguely seen double step. And that's almost what has been seen in the relatively short wire in this experiment. In longer wires, of course, relaxation processes take precedence, and this double step feature becomes smeared. And actually, this is a very good way of studying relaxation. That was actually this experimental setup intended for. They were not just interested to see what non-equilibrium process is going on, but they wanted to find out some information about the relaxation process. And for some time, it seems that they have found quite a sensational information, because they found something which, on the face of it, was not in agreement with Fermi liquid theory. And with some question mark, the authors told about possibly non-Fermi liquid effects in this material. Actually, it was explained a few years later by Glassman and Kaminsky in quite a straightforward way. Yes, it's non-Fermi liquid in some inverted commas if you think that Kondo scattering is non-Fermi liquid effect. They have included non-elastic Kondo scattering, and it perfectly explain the smearing of these curves. But this is not what I want to talk about, although I will mention about this possibly once more in some particular relation. What I want to talk about is how they extract this data. And this, of course, comes from this anomalies, as you can see. So this little insert is differential conductance, dI over dV. And anomaly is just a sharp feature in this dI over dV. Of course, this anomaly here is not at zero bias, not a zero voltage, because there is two voltages, one which drives current through the system, and the other which is applied to two probes here, and anomaly seen when just these two voltages are the same. But first of all, I want to remind what is actually anomaly, what is zero bias anomaly, and how it is well known for this system. So the aim of this talk would be, first of all, to make a survey of anomalies in differential conductance. And again, I apologize for at least the half of the audience, but possibly the most of the audience who know this quite well. And then to stress what new features are imposed by interplay of disorder and interaction in non-equilibrium systems. And although I will be referring to the absence of equilibrium like that introduced by this experiment, these new features are in some way more general. And by the absence of equilibrium, I will always mean just one specific feature, that electronic distribution function is different from a Fermi step and is prepared in a steady state in such a way that it's not a Fermi step. So what is anomaly in differential conductance? Well, this is the definition of differential conductance, G, and of course, normal is Ohm's law. G is equal constant. Everything else is anomalous in some way, but of course, one usually call anomaly when one sees some sharp features, not just sort of a deviation from a constant. And expected anomaly, of course, at high voltage, saturation, whatever, you can't really see the constant even expected there. Unexpected and very much inverted commas is anomaly at low voltage, which is called low bias or zero bias anomaly. Of course, to call it unexpected is a bit of a very strong exaggeration, because at low temperature, this anomaly is known for ages. This is the first reference I have found. I don't know whether English translation exists. And it is a handbook for physics in 1933. So at this stage, already in handbook, so in textbook, it was reported that behavior of differential conductance at low voltages is anomalous. But at that stage, it was given as a puzzle, because no simple theory exists, although one can find the whole zoo of quite fancy theories which existed to explain zero bias anomaly for ages. So now I will have some flashes, some historical flashes taken this or that year almost at random, but not entirely at random, and all these years were after 1933. So first flash to explain that there are two types of zero bias anomaly, and both are named in the same way, comes in 1966. It's a very nice experimental work which actually contained both types of this anomaly. So first, you just look at dependence on differential conductance again at voltage, and you see that it goes up, so it's already not a constant. But in the middle, there is a very sharp dip. But in the same work, on a different material, it was reported just a peak, no dip, in this conductance. And this peak seems to be a bit more generic, because here also it started as a peak, and then system just changed its mind and went down. And it appears at quite a wide voltage region, and also it's most sharp at low temperatures. Here the lowest temperature was just under 1K, but it's seen also at sort of nitrogen temperatures here, and totally disappears only at room temperatures. And this year actually was essential, because this dip was fully explained. And this experimental paper came as illustration to the SD exchange theory, and they call it Applebaum theory, in the very same issue of PRL. Four pages after was paper by Anderson about SD exchange, but Applebaum just specifically talk about these DI over DV anomalies. And this is, of course, due to the presence of something like, for example, condo-like impurities or any sort of resonance which could increase conductance through the barrier. So this is a type of anomaly which I only mentioned now, and we'll forget about this from now on. And I will be concentrated on this type of anomaly, which was at that stage in this paper declared, of unknown origin. It was clear how to explain this, but not how to explain that. So the next flash is in 1971, 5 years later. It was a paper where it was fully established that this anomaly is due to disorder. These different curves, it's the same anomaly, but it's now G, not R, on the axis. So what is peak in R is, of course, deep in G. And here, different curves correspond to different level of neutron irradiation. So the higher the level of irradiation, the higher disorder there. And conjecture was that here there is a mode transition. Density of states goes to zero in the vicinity of mode transition. Therefore, you expect that conductance is suppressed. Of course, because it was no theory of mode transition to compare with, it was just a qualitative statement, and not something which you can really look how it behaves experimentally. And next flash is again 10 years later, where experimental situation was actually absolutely fully understood. I just forgot to tell that here people actually saw very nice logarithmic divergences. They didn't plot it in logarithmic scale, but they noted in their paper that it's clear that divergence cut off logarithmically either by temperature or by voltage. So this feature was already understood in this paper. But here, this is a paper by two experimentalists, Joe Imri and Tzvi Vadiahu. And this paper fully explained, not explained, fully illustrated then new theory by Aishulia Raronov and Lee of this anomaly. I will talk about this theory for possibly an empty set of people in this audience who don't know about this a bit later, but it was clear that there are It was an excellent agreement with theory. All slopes was really double or single logarithmic slopes as it should have been, and even this change of slope was also clearly understood and was in a full agreement with theory of Shuler, Ronovan, Lee. And from this stage it was already clear how to relate this zero bias anomaly to the interplay of disorder and interaction. But before going into any sort of explaining this theory, which I anyway will do only on one transparency, I just want to illustrate why disorder and interaction could lead to effects like that. And I go from an extreme example, which again was fully described, described here in detail by Boris a few days ago, example of Coulomb blockade. In some way, this is something like extreme zero bias anomaly, which I explain on the next slide. So this is a typical quantum dot. Possibly people have seen just this picture very many times. It's taken from Charlie Marcus' front web page, and it's the easiest quantum dot to take and illustrate. And anomaly, or analog of anomaly, taken place when this quantum dot, which is here, it's actually electron C, here is not actually a quantum dot, it's this isolated lake of electron is related to the whole C by these quite wide rivers. But you can change gate voltage and make electronic lake totally isolated, and this is already a really isolated quantum dot. And here there is a well-known effect of Coulomb blockade. It caused charging energy for electron to come into this dot, and therefore unless electrochemical potential for system with n plus 1 and n electrons are equal, you can't go into the dot, and so you've got no conductance everywhere but on the peaks where this condition is fulfilled. And that is why it's called Coulomb blockade. Of course, here interaction is absolutely paramount, and one can't see any effect of disorder. Quantum dot, of course, a bit disordered, or possibly a bit chaotic in the sense that its boundaries are not perfect, but disorder here is irrelevant. But now I want to make a bridge from this picture to what I'm talking about today, how disorder and interaction lead to a mini blockade, even in the case when disorder is weak and system, on the other hand, is rather large. So no blockade effects, electron can enter freely, but not entirely. So scattering from impurities always create self-returning trajectories, as we know, and these trajectories are the more prominent, the lower is dimensionality. So with lowering D, you've got a higher return probability. For two-dimensional system, electron is with necessity returns here. And this is a fully disorder-driven effect. But if electrons also interact, it's something like a crowd, which not very dense, but sort of electronic crowd, which is created at the point of contact. And electrons feel mini blockade effect from other electrons. Of course, it can be described in a much more rigorous way just by invoking the picture of Friedel oscillations by impurities and electron scattering from Friedel oscillations created by another electron. But anyway, this gives some sort of impression. You need both disorder and interaction to make electronic entrance at the tunneling point contact a bit more difficult. And that's where is the basis of the zero bias anomaly lies. And that's a situation which I want now to address a bit more formally, trying to describe in a sort of joint way how to deal with both disorder and interaction, both in the presence and in the absence of equilibrium. So I consider the interacting disorder sample connected to an ideal probe. And here is a tunneling current which enters the system. And I would consider that probe is ideal, so this is just free electrons and also possibly maintained on some given temperature. So there is a bus with a given temperature, so electrons are well characterized by this. There is, in a sample, there is some interaction, some disorder. I don't need to specify the Hamiltonian of the sample at the moment. Important is that there is a tunneling Hamiltonian which couples the sample to the probe. And all I need to do is to find a current from the probe to the sample which is induced by this Hamiltonian. And of course, it's straightforward. Current is just change of the full number of electrons in the probe, which gives immediately expression in terms of Green's functions between probe and sample. It's entirely exact. And I have introduced here Keldysh-Green's function. Doesn't matter exactly what is that for those possibly empty set who doesn't know. But it's a very straightforward and exact expression. Well, okay. Okay, yeah, you're right. But anybody can guess, nevertheless. Sometimes you know, sometimes you guess. What one need to do is go to the situation of, or what one need to do in this relation is to go to the situation of weak coupling. So tunneling is weak, therefore this Green's function which relates electrons in the sample and in the lid can be straightforwardly expressed in terms of Green's functions of electrons in the sample only, because lid or probe is ideal, and therefore everything is straightforward. Therefore, after very little algebra, one comes in the weak tunneling to this expression for current, which of course contains two terms. So here H is a distribution function. Okay, F is normal Fermion distribution function. It's usually represented this way. And I've got here two terms. This term is proportional to local density of states. And so it doesn't contain any information about distribution function. So whatever we do with this term, it does not really know whether the system is at equilibrium or not. Because the only way to know about equilibrium is to know about H. And here is only H naught, ideal Fermi function of the lid, because we assume that lid is in a good thermal bath and everything there is perfect. Although this assumption is not very relevant for what I'm doing, but still it's more convenient to do. So all information about possible non-equilibrium effect is sitting on Keldysh-Green function in this other term. And a typical Keldysh-Ansatz, as it sort of sometimes called, is that this Green's function is represented in terms of distribution function H, which is the same 1 minus 2F in the sample, and again this density of states. So if there are some effects which are induced by the distribution function in the sample being non-trivial, they are all sitting on this first term. And of course both terms give contributions to the tunneling current, and it is just this second term which will become first on all other transparencies is the standard one. It's the one which gives in proper considerations all Altshuler-Aronov-Lee theory, and it's this Keldysh term which is a bit less trivial and gives essential contribution only in the absence of equilibrium. So let me just consider both of them. So all I need to do is to look at the contribution to the tunneling current of these two guys. And first one is just very straightforward to express. GR minus GA becomes just density of states in the sample. And this is my ideal distribution function. At zero temperature, it's just a step function. Therefore, its derivative will be just a delta function. And I've got the standard result. The tunneling current is directly proportional to the density, one electron density of states, and that's actually the reason why it is called the Dunning density of states. And if there are any anomalies in this contribution to tunneling, to the tunneling current, they are all due to some anomalies in the tunneling density of states. And this is exactly what is what has been considered in the Aronov-Schuler and Aronov-Schuler-Lee theory more than 20 years ago. And additional contribution one can get from this Keldysh-Green's function, and I have used here this substitution. It's different, and it's not universal in the sense that it should be specific conditions for this contribution to exist. First of all, there is a derivative of the probe density of states here in front. Therefore, if we got just a simple metal using for a probe where density of states is flat, featureless or whatever, this derivative would be zero, at least very small, and this effect would be vanishing. And second, one needs that this distribution function in the sample is different substantially from the ideal distribution function, because if it is not, then when V goes to zero, this is a very small difference, and again, it will not vanish, but it will give some vanishingly small corrections to the standard effect. So that's something which is not very interesting unless H is non-trivial. So that is exactly the situation which I want to address. First of all, let me just to remind what is the standard tunneling dose contribution, what is the standard Aronov-Schuler-Lee theory. So it's of course a cartoon, but so possibly it doesn't explain much to people who didn't see many cartoons like this, but and of course I still try to tell what's going on here. So this is the only process which contributes in diffusive limit to this standard anomaly. And it's based on the two things, that electrons, when enters the system, go through multiple scatterings through impurities and interacts with other electrons. And this interaction also contains multiple scattering through impurities, and it's dynamically screened like this. These two effects, or actually it's a single effect, but when you got a long-range interaction which is dynamically screened, and this additional scattering leads to double logarithmic correction to the density of states. If it happens that electron interactions is screened, for example, by some electrons from outer layer, which are not dynamically, and this screening is fast, so diffusive process is neglected, then this contribution would be proportional to a single logarithm. But I have shown ideal coincidence of experiments with this theory. It was actually not absolutely ideal, because what experimenters usually have done, they match slopes, and it was absolutely as good as it gets. You can't see how it can be improved. But some constants were quite unexplained. Sometimes they need to shift their curves by quite a substantial amount to see that these curves would be at the same place at, as theoretical curves. Partly this was because this contribution was only in diffusive limit, and only many years after it was noticed by Rudin, Alenier, and Glasman that there is a non-singular, because it doesn't depend on energy, but very large contribution from electrons in a ballistic regime, or electrons at much higher energy. And this contribution helps a lot. So experimental curves now can be shifted almost to this theoretical value. Still, there is some discrepancy up to a constant, but people always can neglect this constant. But anyway, that's what the standard contribution is. But it can be actually suppressed in experimental setup, which I was talking about from the very beginning. So in this setup, superconducting probes have been used. which got a gap in density of states just at the voltages where it will be a normal anomaly. And in this case, one can't see the standard zero bias anomaly effect, and only the additional contribution, which can be used directly to measure tunneling current, is seen. Yes,
when you said on the previous graph, when you said there was a shift, small shift remaining, that's relative to
Between experimental and theoretical curves. You just you see, it's a zero. There are no adjustment parameters here. It's an exact prediction. You don't have here anything which is unknown, because your epsilon Fermi tau are measured from other experiments. And then you see that there is an experimental theoretical curve which still need to have some adjustment to coincide exactly. But slopes are excellent.
So where does the density of states mu naught comes from?
But density of states would be, I think that everything which is here can be measured in a set of different setups. So they claim that it should be a zero-fit theory, a zero-parameter-fit theory, but in some way still there is a little constant discrepancy. A little discrepancy by a constant. But for many years, this constant is actually quite huge, because delta goes to infinity with volume. And these experiments have been done on quite large samples. This discrepancy was totally not taken into account. But again, that's usual. Experimentalists always tell you that there are zillions of reasons to get a constant. And so this is not relevant where you start your curve, as long as you've got a good fit with the slope.
I was just curious.
But what I'm telling you is that this still help a lot, because some constants which have been ascribed to something, you know, context, whatever, in some sort of mumbling, which was quite difficult to decipher, actually could be fully theoretically explained. But that's again, that's a side remark, I'm not talking about this. So here, zero bias anomaly is suppressed and only the second contribution is measured. And as I told, the second contribution was explained by, actually the scattering processes, which was measured by this second contribution, from which the electron's distribution function was extracted. These scattering processes have been explained by Alenier and, by Kaminsky and Glassman due to the inelastic scattering via quantum impurities. Experimentalists, of course, wanted to check this idea, and you can't do this when there are superconducting probes, because to check whether quantum impurities are relevant, you, of course, want to impose some magnetic field to freeze quantum flips. And then if it is relevant, you'll see that this process will disappear. But magnetic field, which are necessary, would also suppress superconductivity in these probes. So another experiment was being set up by, roughly speaking, the same group. And here is already a single probe, again, at a biased voltage. And here is just zero bias anomaly, which is used to extract this distribution function. So again, what is measured is di over dv, and what is extracted is the electron distribution function, which again, I have here it only for a short wire, which has a double step shape. For a longer wire, it will be smeared, and by this smearing again, one measures the processes of decoherence or process of relaxation in this wire. And here, when zero bias anomaly is relevant, one really needs to know how to distinguish one term from the other. And the question which we have posed was whether some effects of interaction and disorder, which was fully responsible for the standard zero bias anomaly, are important for measuring this second kinetic contribution. So, of course, this second kinetic contribution is exactly the distribution function to be extracted. And the question which we are posed is how, which we are posing is how to relate this measured distribution function to zero order function, which is a standard H naught, and how corrections which are due to disorder interaction could be important for this. So this kinetic contribution, which I repeat here, is the same as I has written before, could also be described diagrammatically, and diagram looks on the face of it very similar to that of Altshuler and Aronov. And if I take exactly the same diagram, it will be just a bit different functions which are entering here. It doesn't matter precisely how different they are, but this contribution is of course small and boring, because there are, it just gives roughly speaking the same effect as the standard density of states contribution, and this is just a little correction to this effect. But there is something else here, and this something else is due to the fact that this product of distribution function and density of states is actually the Keldysh-Green's function, and one needs to see how to make corrections to this non-equilibrium entity. And what is possible here is to have a process where, this is actually one point, where electron goes into a system and returns as a whole. So here is entering electron, but when there is Keldysh-Green function here, it can come back as a whole instead of coming as electron. And this makes quite a difference, because you don't have scattering between two holes, and scattering here disappear, but you have scattering between electron and hole here, and this makes this contribution to be possibly still not that large, but a bit less boring. But also, it contains something which is not small either. We've got here an extra diffusion, or an extra scattering ladder between electron and hole, which got exactly the same energy just by conservation law, and therefore if I just got here this standard expression for diffusion ladder, it will be a fully divergent expression. It's a sort of a almost naked divergency, and the only way to correct it is to take into account the escape processes from this system. So the only way to correct this diffusion is to take into account that particle numbers in the system is not entirely conserved. And so then instead of this full divergency, one would just have tau escape coming into this process directly. And of course, in the situation of the experiment done by French group, this is still not a very large correction. It still would be of order of course, as any process which is due to diffusive scattering, it has the smallest of 1 over g, where g is conductance of the system. But now it will be multiplied by something which depends on tau escape. Again, there it's not a very large contribution. It's a correction, but this correction makes the system to have just yet another handle, because tau escape could be changed independently of other parameters which are going in the system. But of course, the question which is possibly much more interesting is how these processes would manifest themselves when you measure effects of this sort in the quantum dot, where tau escape could be a very large parameter. You can make the dot being almost totally closed, and then escape processes are very long, and you can have a quite a substantial correction.
Does it have to be totally closed but out of equilibrium?
Say it again?
The dot has to be completely closed but out of equilibrium.
The dot, of course, cannot be completely closed, so tau escape doesn't go to infinity. But meaning that it's closed, I meant that it becomes, 1 over tau escape becomes of order of delta level spacing or smaller. So yes, it still can be driven out of equilibrium, at least one group thinks that this experiment can be done, Charlie Marcus group, that because there are many ways of drive dots out of equilibrium in a control way, and then this process could become more important. This I will not be going into, I just finish what can we get from this contribution for the situation with the wire as in the experiment which I have described. We just go that this additional contribution is actually proportional to tau escape, and it's practically directly proportional to the collision integral. So what we are talking about is quantum corrections in effect to the collision integral in this system. If the probe is made as sort of the Bright-Wigner probe, when there is a tunneling through a resonant level, which is again one of the standard ways of measuring Coulomb blockade, then this derivative is practically a delta function, and you will have that additional contribution is just a direct way of measuring quantum corrections to the collision integral. And of course, this process is totally vanishing at equilibrium, because if you substitute equilibrium distribution function into collision integral, it's just zero. So this is actually correct for whatever is the relaxation process in the system. For any relaxation process, one can get this result. And if we just look at the quasi 1D or quasi 2D systems, quasi-1D like in the experiment of Poitier group, then we can get the results like that. Again, important thing here is the existence of this handle, the escape processes, which can be used to extract some information from these measurements. These functions which we have obtained here are unfortunately rather featureless. So here is this function for 2D. It's indeed featureless because one expects to have some peaks when voltage, probe voltage is equal to the voltage which drives the current through the system. But these peaks are there, but otherwise they don't have anything which is actually much different from the effects which you would expect from the standard zero bias anomaly. And again, it's not zero bias. In this situation, it will be shifted to U equal V, and these two processes are competing. Of course, when tau escape is made quite long, when the system which we are considering is rather closed, then one can expect that this contribution can be either larger or smaller. It's just a different parameter from the standard zero bias anomaly contribution. So that's all I wanted to say. So just to conclude, I have suggested one example of a non-equilibrium system where electrons are driven out of equilibrium in a quite controlled way. And I have shown that the tunneling current has two contributions. One which is a standard zero bias anomaly contribution, and the other which is kinetic contribution in general proportional or induced by the collision integral. Kinetic contribution may be dominant if the escape time which controls this process is rather large. However, I must say that when escape time is rather large, it's not just one this diagram which contributes. We will have a lot of contributions which need to be resummed. And of course, when it goes smaller than level spacing, we would escape. We would expect the saturation of this process. It will have no divergences. And this process actually manifests the existence of quantum corrections which are due to disorder and interaction to the collision integral. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Two questions. You have to use a different U when you're out of equilibrium. screen interaction.
Ah, okay, yes. Yes and no, because in this situation where I've got just this double step function or whatever, in fact the screen interaction remains practically the same. Additional corrections are negligible. So if you go through the standard procedure of screening the interaction, you will see that contribution will be the same.
And so, second thing is, in the there was this formulation of all the interaction corrections in terms of kinetic equation in the Sana Narashini paper. And in that paper, they showed that when you're out of equilibrium, there's an additional non-local POC contribution to the collision interval.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing which is driving this correction?
I can't be sure at the moment, because I really don't remember this. This is, of course, sort of a fork term, and there is no Hartree contribution to this particular correction, but it's actually local. So in this way, I can't see a direct correspondence. But
it's local meaning?
It's local in the same way as the standard fork term in zero bias anomaly is local. So you've got of course dynamical screening effects there, but that's it. I don't know whether it's directly related to what is going on at short distances or in ballistic regime, as in Narozhnin and Alenyer. So here I really can't have a further comment.
Any further questions or comments?
Okay, thank you.